Thankful for the presence of each and every one. Appreciate the prayer that Mike led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate those uplifting songs about the cross that Max led us in. And appreciate Max setting the tone for our study this morning, titled Scenes from the Cross. And appreciate that good reading that Steve gave us there from John chapter 19. And encourage everybody to keep their Bibles open up there to John chapter 19. We're going to begin there in just a moment. You see, the cross of Christ, it is at the center of God's plan for salvation. And even Jesus Christ himself knew that if mankind were to be redeemed from sin, he was going to have to go to the cross and shed his blood for the remission of sins. And because of that, he endured the cross, despising the shame. When you think about the cross of Christ, can you begin to imagine what it would have been like to have witnessed the crucifixion of Christ and the events leading up to the crucifixion? I mean, think about that for a moment. When you think about the cross of Christ and the events leading up to his crucifixion, can you even begin to fathom what that would have been like to have witnessed that? I don't know about you, but as for me, I can't even begin to imagine what that would have been like. But we do have for us in the scriptures some details about the scenes of the cross of Christ. And that's what I want to take a few moments to talk to us about this morning. I want to take us through the scriptures this morning and the details that we have in the scriptures concerning the events leading up to the crucifixion of Christ and the cross of Christ. And we're going to take just a few moments this morning to examine some of the scenes of the cross that we can find recorded for us in the Bible. And I just want to begin this morning with the scene underneath the cross. You see, after being sentenced to death, Christ was ordered to carry his cross to the site of crucifixion. And by the way, this was common at that time. It was common at this time when those that was going to be crucified, that they bear their cross to the site where they were going to be crucified. And we learn about Christ being led away on his way to be crucified there in John 19. Open back up your Bibles there to John 19. And notice again here in John 19, beginning in verse 16. Again, we see that Jesus was delivered to be crucified. It says, then they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17, and he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. So here we see Jesus being led away to be crucified. And we see here the scene under the cross where Jesus would have been bearing his cross on the way to Calvary. And I want us to think about this. I want us to think about what this scene under the cross would have entailed. You see, before Jesus was led away to be crucified, guess what happened to Jesus? You remember? You remember what happened to him? Yes, he was beat. He was scourged. And you think about that. Jesus would have had lingering pain from the beatings and the scourging which was inflicted upon him pre-crucifixion. You recall there in Matthew 26. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Matthew 26. But you recall here in Matthew chapter 26, here in verse number 67, for instance, in the context here, in Jesus, he is facing the Sanhedrin, and he's being accused of speaking blasphemy. And I want us to notice what happened here in verse number 67. After they accused him of blasphemy, after they said that he was deserving of death, It says, then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. So here, before Jesus was even turned over to Pilate, he was being beaten. He was being, as we see here, smacked around. We go on to learn there in Matthew 27, as Jesus was handed over to Pilate, and as he faced Pilate, and as the decision was made to put Jesus to death. Notice what happened, picking up here in Matthew 27 and verse number 27. It says, then the soldiers of the governor, that being Pilate's soldiers, took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. What did they do to him? Verse 28. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Think about this. Think about this. Think about how Jesus he would have been lingering with the pain of the beatings that would have been upon him. You think about Jesus, and you think about how we learned that he was scourged. And you think about scourging and what takes place when one is scourged. They're flogged. They're flogged with a leather-like whip. Whip that would have often been fashioned with leather and studded with pieces of metal and bones. And you think about the damage that would have done. You think about what that would have done to the flesh. It would have flayed that flesh wide open, wouldn't it? And you think about that. You get a picture of that. You get a picture of what Jesus would have endured before they put that cross on him and led him away to be crucified. It's important to note, by the way, when we think about the cross that he was bearing, it is important to note that it would have not been the entire cross. It would have more than likely just been, obviously, the cross beam rather than the entire cross. It is said that the beam would have then been fashioned to the cross that was upright, the upright stake that was already in place once they got to the site of crucifixion. But even looking at some scholars' ideas on what that cross beam would have probably weighed, they're guessing that it probably weighed anywhere between 75 and 125 pounds. And that's still a substantial part of amount of weight. You think about that. And you think about that amount of weight that would have been put upon one after enduring the infliction of the beatings and the scourging. And that's why, as we see, that Jesus, as we think about the scene under the cross, how he became burdened under the weight of it. Notice that with me there in Luke chapter 23 and in verse number 26. Here in Luke's account, in Luke 23 and verse number 26, it says, Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Think about that. When you think about the scene under the cross, you think about the weight of the cross being upon the wounds that Jesus would have suffered. And you think about how that would have took a toll upon him. You think about as he bared his cross on the way of Calvary, that it took so much of a toll upon him that he wasn't able to bear it the full distance. Think about that. Think about that. As you think about the scene under the cross. As we think about the scene upon the cross. Here we find Jesus the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. As we reflect upon the scene of the cross and we reflect upon the one who was nailed upon the cross, we find the Son of God. The Son of God. You see, going back there to Luke chapter 22, again, as Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin, you remember as they were accusing Jesus of blasphemy, and as they were mocking him, they all said to him, they asked him, "Are you the Son of God?" And you remember how Jesus replied there in Luke 22, verse 70? "So he said to them, 'You rightly say that I am.'" Here Jesus is informing that he was indeed the Son of God. Going back there to Matthew chapter 27. Here in Matthew 27, picking up here in verse 41, we see as Jesus was on the cross, it says, "Likewise the chief priests also mocking with the scribes and the elders said, 'He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.'" Here again, as we reflect upon the scene upon the cross, we have the Son of God. And the Son of God continues to be mocked for informing that he was indeed the Son of God. We go on to learn there, fast forwarding there to verse number 54 of Matthew chapter 27. We'll talk about this as we close our lesson a little bit later. But here in Matthew 54, fast forwarding there, that centurion and those that were guarding Jesus around the cross, after Jesus breathed his last and after they started to witness the events that was taking place, they greatly feared. And what did they say? "Indeed, he was the Son of God." Think about that. As you reflect upon the scene upon the cross, here we find the sacrificial Lamb of God being mocked. Again, as we reflect upon the scene of the cross, we learn that as Jesus was upon the cross, the garments of Jesus was divided. There in Matthew 27 and in verse number 35. Again, as we examine the scene upon the cross, it says, "They crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." This is what was going on as we reflect upon the scene upon the cross. Not only was the Son of God being mocked, but also we learn here that his garments was divided. And you think about that. You think about the humiliation of being nailed to the cross. You think about the humiliation of being disrobed while upon the cross. Having your garments removed and divided. Which just would have been an additional form of humiliation. And you think about that as you reflect upon the scene of the cross. Not only was the Son of God being mocked, but he was being humiliated. Another scene as we reflect upon the scene of the cross that we find is we find a very compassionate and forgiving Jesus. There in Luke 23 and in verse 34, we learn that as Jesus was upon the cross, what words did he utter? As we learn there in Luke 23 and verse 34, what was those compassionate words Jesus uttered? Do you remember? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Do you think about that when you reflect upon the scene upon the cross? Here is the Son of God, nailed to the cross, being mocked, being humiliated. And what is he focused upon? Himself? He's not, is he? He's focused upon others. Specifically in this text, those that put him there. And what words did he utter to the Father? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Let that sink in. You see, these are words of tender compassion. Tender compassion being offered for those who were guilty of having Jesus nailed to that cross. And you think about, again, you think about the pain, the agonizing pain that Jesus would have endured while being nailed to the cross. You think about the ridicule that he would have endured, the humiliation that he would have endured. And what did he ask the Father for? Forgiveness for those who put him there. Wow. Wow. And when we reflect upon the scene upon the cross, be mindful not only of the fact that it was the Son of God who was nailed to that cross, but also of the fact that we had a very compassionate Savior nailed to that cross. And as we reflect upon the scene of the cross, here we find Jesus being suspended for 6 hours before dying. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus hung suspended upon the cross for 6 hours? You see, we learn about that going there in Mark's account, there in Mark chapter 15. Turn there with me if you will. But here in Mark's account, here in Mark chapter 15, verse 25 beginning, it reads, "Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him." Here we learn the time that Jesus was crucified, nailed to that cross. It would have been the third hour. To put it in perspective, it would have been equivalent to our 9 a.m. hour. And we go on to see, fast forwarding down there, to verse number 34 of Mark chapter 15. It says, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice." And as we go on to see, fast forwarding there to verse 35. "Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, 'Look, he is calling for Elijah.' Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, 'Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down.'" Now verse 37. "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last." When was that? That Jesus breathed his last? The ninth hour. Which, by the way, would be equivalent to our 3 p.m. hour. There we get our 6 hours that Jesus would have hung suspended upon the cross. And as you think about Jesus being suspended upon the cross, be mindful that the position of the nailed body on the cross, that it held the ribcage in a fixed position, which would have made it almost impossible to breathe and to exhale. Are you familiar with that? Are you familiar that crucifixion and when one was crucified, that even trying to take a simple breath was nearly impossible. It was nearly impossible. You see, to breathe, the victim on the cross would have been forced to push up with their feet to allow inflation to the lungs. I want you to think about that for a moment. You think about being nailed to the cross. And by the way, when you think about being nailed to the cross, we're not thinking about these little 2, 3, 4-inch nails that we use today to nail 2x4s. We're talking about spikes. Back in the 1980s, there was a site discovered where a crucifixion took place. And they actually found skeletal remains with spikes driven in the skeletal remains. And you know, those spikes were said to be 7 inches. You think about a 7-inch spike being nailed through your hands and your feet. Now, I don't know about you, but I stepped on a little 2-3-inch nail one time. And that about caused me to pass out. I became pretty faint and weary over that. Let alone to have a 7-inch spike, so to say. Hammered through your feet, your hands. And then, while you're up there, you're trying to breathe, you're struggling to breathe, and in order to breathe, you got to push down on your feet where those spikes would have been driven in order to try to get some relief and to get a breath. And you think about the lingering pain that would have caused as you were gasping for breath and trying to get breath while being upon the cross. Think about that. You think about how those spikes would have hit nerves as they were driven in, causing sharp pains of shock to go through the body. Think about that. Think about that. Sobering, isn't it? As you reflect upon the scene upon the cross, as you reflect upon our Savior upon the cross and what He would have endured. You see, it said when one would have been hanging upon the cross that oftentimes there would have been insufficient blood circulation. There would have been, as we talked about, difficulty breathing, which ultimately would lead to suffocation and death. Think about the agonizing pain and the suffering that one would have endured while being suspended upon the cross. And you think about Jesus and what He endured upon the cross as He hung there suspended for 6 hours. Think about that. But as we move on and we move to the scene above the cross, we find an inscription of the accusation of Jesus. We learn about that there in Mark chapter 15, verse number 26. And there it's recorded, and the inscription of His accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." We go on to learn, going back there to John chapter 19, that it was Pilate who would have had that inscription put above the cross. Go back there to John 19 with me. And going back there to John chapter 19, let's just pick up here in verse number 19. Here it says, "Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.'" We go on to learn that as Pilate had this inscription put there on the cross with the accusation of Jesus, that some of the Jews, they tried to get Him to change that title, didn't they? Notice that there in verse 20. "Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews.'" But he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate wasn't going to buy it, though, was he? As we see there in verse number 22. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." But also notice what we find there as we reflect upon the scene above the cross, as we reflect upon this inscription of Jesus' accusation. As we just learned here in John chapter 19 and in verse number 20, that inscription was written in how many languages? Three. Three different languages. It was written, as we see, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And you think about those three languages in which that inscription was written. Those three languages, they represented the language, all the language of the world at that time. So you know what that means? No matter what language you spoke, those that were there could read and understand what that accusation was. All knew. For as we learned, the inscription was written in three different languages. But as we also reflect upon the scene above the cross, we also have the scene of 3 hours of darkness. Did you know that? Did you know that while Jesus was upon the cross, there would have been a period of 3 hours of darkness? You see, we learn about that there in Mark's account, going back there with me, if you will, there to Mark 15. And here in Mark chapter 15, let's just pick up here in verse number 33. Again, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and it says, "Now when the sixth hour had come," and by the way, when was he nailed to that cross? What did we say earlier? The third hour. Here's 3 hours later, the sixth hour. And what took place when the sixth hour had come? There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. You see that? Here we find a scene above the cross where there would have been a period of 3 hours of darkness. And although the text doesn't specify the purpose of this phenomenon, I believe that we all would agree that this event was orchestrated by God, our Father in heaven, to signify the importance of what was taking place. But as we move on, and we go from the scene above the cross to the scene below the cross, here we have a picture of heartless cruelty. You see, it's important to point out the fact that the cross is an emblem of torture and shame. Did you know that? The cross is an emblem of torture and shame. And as we reflect upon the scene below the cross, we have a picture of heartless cruelty. Notice this. Going there to Matthew chapter 27. I know I don't have that on the screen, but follow there with me to Matthew 27. And here in Matthew 27, I want us to notice what took place as they crucified him. It says again here in verse 35 of Matthew 27. "Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Now pay attention to verse 36, because this is what I want us to notice. "Sitting down, they kept watch over him there." Let that sink in for a moment as you reflect upon the scene below the cross. Here we have some sitting down. Sitting down as they watched as if it was entertainment for them. Think about that. Jesus being upon the cross, being mocked, being humiliated. As we talked about in Mark 15, 29, 30, Luke 23, 35 through 37. Being mocked, being humiliated, being ridiculed. And what do we find below the cross? What scene? We find some sitting down, watching as if it was some form of entertainment. Such a picture of heartless cruelty. Again, as we've already talked about, as you think about the scene below the cross, we still had those chief priests and scribes who would have been down there below the cross continuing to mock Jesus. Continuing to mock him. We find, going back there to John 19, that there would have been Roman soldiers there casting lots for the clothing. Going back there to John 19, turn back there with me as you think about and reflect upon the scene below the cross. Here in John 19, picking back up there in verse number 23. Here we read, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one place. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things." That took place below the cross as we reflect upon the scene below the cross. But as we move on and we reflect upon the scene by the cross, here we have a criminal on the right and another on the left. We learn about that in Luke's account there in Luke 23. Be turning your Bibles there with me to Luke, the 23rd chapter. And as you're turning there, it's important to note that in Matthew's and Mark's account, these two men are described as robbers. They're described as robbers. But here in Luke 23, beginning in verse number 33, it's recorded, "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." We go on to learn more about these men who was crucified alongside Jesus. Fast forwarding down there to verse number 39 of Luke 23. And there it's recorded, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Think about that. Think about that. Here is one of those criminals who hung alongside Jesus, who was being crucified alongside Jesus. And what's he doing? Mocking Jesus. But the other, verse 40, "Answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let that sink in for a moment as we reflect upon the scene by the cross. You see, it has been said that the cross of redemption was placed between the cross of repentance and the cross of rebellion, as seen in those that hung upon them. Think about that for a moment as you reflect upon the scene by the cross. You have Jesus and his cross being nailed to the cross. And on either side of him, you have these two criminals, these robbers. One who presented an attitude of rebellion as he mocked Jesus. and another who presented an attitude of repentance as he recognized who Jesus was and asked him to remember him. Think about that. But as we also reflect upon the scene by the cross, we also find Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with other family and friends. Going back there to John chapter 19. And there in John chapter 19, and again in verse number 25, it's recorded, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." Think about that. Just try to imagine. Try to imagine seeing and witnessing your child in pain, agony, suffering, while being crucified upon a cross. And you think about what an emotional scene that would have been. What an emotional scene this would have been as we reflect upon the scene by the cross. As we reflect upon Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with other family and friends of Jesus, witnessing this. What an emotional scene that must have been. We go on to see, fast forwarding there to John chapter 19, verse number 26. One of those close friends of Jesus that would have been there by the cross, that would have witnessed this, was the disciple whom he loved. Notice this. There in John chapter 19 and verse 26, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Again, what an emotional scene that must have been. Not only for Mary, but also for John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Think about that. But we also find, as we reflect upon the scene by the cross, we find a centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, who witnessed the things that had happened after Jesus died. And as we mentioned earlier, what did they do? They greatly feared, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Notice that with me, going back to Matthew 27 one more time. And going back there to Matthew 27, picking up in verse number 50. We read, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Verse 54. "So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Just think about that for a moment. Think about those events that we just talked about that took place after Jesus breathed his last. And you think about those that would have witnessed those things, how dramatic that would have been. And how it would have, as the text says here in Matthew 27, caused some of those that witnessed those things to greatly fear, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. But I want us to notice the most important thing of that. Verse 54. What did they say? "Truly, this was the Son of God." Truly, this was the Son of God. Again, as we reflect upon the scenes of the cross, as we reflect upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God, enduring the cross. I hope we can be mindful of these scenes of the cross and the scenes leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus upon the cross when we reflect upon the cross of Christ. Again, I hope this study concerning the scenes of the cross of Christ was helpful in painting a picture for us in our minds of the crucifixion of Christ and the events leading up to it. And hopefully we all have gained a better understanding of the cross of Christ. So never forget, Jesus the Christ willingly went to the cross and suffered a horrible death. And He did so for you and for I. He did so even though He was not guilty of any sin. He committed no sin. He was not guilty of any sin. But He did so. He did so because He loved us so. Therefore, may none of us ever take for granted the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But rather, let us all live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. And let's be one who obeys Him. Maybe there's one here this morning who has not submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. Remember what Christ did for you. Remember. And knowing that, why not submit yourself in obedience to His will this very hour while you have that opportunity to do so? For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, as we've talked about this day, you can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour. You can have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. You can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life, and you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whenever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Max is Selected.